Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Hey, podcast listeners, still standing on the sidelines when you could be getting paid to play? Well, all your favorite NBA and college basketball teams are in action, and there's no better time to make sure you're betting with the best. BetDSI is one of the most reliable and profitable online sports books. Bet on the NBA, college basketball, MLB, UFC, NHL, and much more. It's your all-access pass for everything. And not only are there super quick payouts and bonuses, but BetDSI's live feature allows me to watch my team before I even bet. They even match any deposit you make up to $1,000. So play big, win big, and get paid anytime. Plus, when you sign up for BetDSI.com using our code, you'll get an extra 25%. That's 125% bonus. So join the winning team by signing on at BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN101. You'll more than double your bet. So don't leave money on the table. Visit BetDSI.com and use code WIN101. That's BetDSI.com, promo code WIN101, BETDSI.com, code WIN101.
The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. With Cheers, you're going to start feeling better when you wake up. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell. Dell and I are here in Houston. Lance is at the Combine in Indianapolis. Things heated up yesterday. A lot of sound bites from a lot of different people. Probably the number one story was Nick Foles not getting franchised and what that means for the rest of the league. And Lance is joining us now from Indy to talk about that and a lot more. And our Houston Texans. What's up, man?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Doing good. How was yesterday?
I was fine. I had some stuff to do, so I didn't get to go to the interview session. The interview session, you know, there's a variety of podiums, and it's actually much better. It's done much better now than it had been previously. But there's a variety of podiums, and the different coaches will go up and speak, and the different general managers. And today will be Brian Gain will speak at the podium. Bill O'Brien spoke yesterday and talked a little bit about some of the issues, although he was able to push off a lot of the answers until Brian Gain. And I suspect Brian Gain will not give us a lot of answers, but I say that, but you know what? Every year at this combine interviews, these general managers and head coaches answer way more questions than I ever expect. And they're way more honest about it too. I mean, Steve Keim yesterday talking about the first pick, you know, talking about Josh Rosen. Well, he's our quarterback. He's our quarterback for now. I know that.
For now.
We're like, wow.
For okay. Now, he said.
Yeah. I mean, well, he didn't have to say that.
No.
But he did put that out there. John Elway was asked a question about Kyler Murray. I mean, he put it on Kyler Murray about being a small quarterback, and the small quarterbacks can't win in the playoffs and stuff like that. John Elway doesn't care.
John Elway just drafts 6'9" quarterbacks. So yeah, like a 5'9" quarterback, it's impossible.
This disgusts John Elway that there's a quarterback under 6'2". It disgusts him. barely could stomach Baker Mayfield. Now he's like, what? What's wrong, John? What happened? Kyler Murray tape.
That's
He goes, how are you going to win with a little quarterback? You have to play in shotgun the whole game.
And
then you can't run out of shotgun.
You can't play under center if you're 5'9". There's just no way you can do it. Except Baker, you know, whatever. But he's not 5'9". But I keep seeing every time Elway's brought up with this Kyler Murray thing. Well, John Elway is just trying to assure that he's the greatest Bronco quarterback of all time. That's why he keeps drafting Brock Osweiler and Paxton.
Slow down, guys. Yeah. He just traded for Flacco.
Well, that assured that he's the greatest of all time.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah, that's right.
Honestly,
and
though,
giant.
Honestly, would you rather right now? I mean, would you rather have Case Keenum or Joe Flacco right now?
I mean, to me, I don't know that there's a huge difference, and I would probably have just stayed with Case Keenum.
Yeah,
honestly, I don't know that there's a huge difference, but John Elway clearly thinks he's not just a. I feel like he's a bridge quarterback. John Elway probably thinks he has a lot more life to him, and quarterbacks can last longer. So we'll see what happens. I mean, Joe Flacco's got a big arm and all that. But it is interesting how many teams will come out here and they do give answers. So we'll see if Gary Kubiak used to do that. I used to expect him to not answer questions, and he would. So we'll see if Brian Gain, you know, what he has to say about Jadeveon Clowney's contract and, you know, any other situations, because the two guys who ask all the questions, it's open to everybody who is around that podium. Anybody can ask a question, but it was mostly Aaron Wilson and John McClain asking questions. So it really wasn't much about the combine. It's pretty much all just about the Texans, which is fine, I guess.
Yeah, Bill O'Brien was up there, and we've got some sound. He was.
Yeah, he's got some sound. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's got some sound on whether or not Bill O'Brien is going to be calling the plays, which is kind of a big deal. You know, he raved about his new offensive coordinator Tim Kelly, but I'm not sure he's going to give him all that much power when it comes to game time.
Yeah, I think it's so early right now to really talk about any of that. We're really concentrated on the draft. We're concentrated on, you know, what we want to do. We have a 9-week off-season program that starts April 15th. But going to your original question, first of all, every play caller starts somewhere. So where do you start? Where does the process start as a play caller? It starts with, obviously having a great understanding of your system, having a great understanding of defense, which Timmy does. And then it starts with, okay, how much scripting do you want to give him? Will he call the plays in practice? Who will translate the play from the script or even off the script to the quarterback in practice? There's a lot of ways you can train a play caller, but until you're actually doing it in a game, it's exactly what you said. You have to get a feel for it. You have to get a feel for your team. You have to understand how the game's being played, how you're being played defensively, things like that. So that those are all things that we'll work through, but we're real early in that process.
Yeah, I believe him, but I don't believe that Tim Kelly is a possibility to call the plays, especially since he's moved up from where he's moved up from, and this is his first year, and Bill O'Brien is a no stay in your lane head coach. You know, that was one of the most important things about hiring assistant coaches. Do they know their lane? Do you know your lane? And Tim Kelly, know your lane, okay?
You're going to be... George Godsey called plays.
Yeah, but after a while... And Tim Kelly's just starting here, you know.
Yeah, George Godsey did it the second year.
How long did George Godsey call in place last?
Well, as long as he was terrible.
Well, right, and not very, because Bill O'Brien was like, we ain't doing this anymore. No, three games in. Well, we all call the plays. Do we? Yeah. I'm sure John Weeks gets a say in whatever plays are being called.
He didn't mean John Weeks.
He meant everybody. It's a collaborative effort, Lance. Everybody.
He meant the offensive staff.
Doc Muntz. Jock Lowe gets a play call.
You say that, but he has given play calling duties to someone else before.
Yeah, to Godsey for about two games.
No, it wasn't for two games. George Godsey had it. George Godsey wouldn't use the tight ends, and he ended up taking the play calling from him because they kept losing. They were in a tailspin. And the offense was atrocious, and he took it away. I don't think it's outrageous that Tim Kelly could end up calling plays. I don't think it's the favorite right now, based on the way that he's. There's a lot of things that go into play calling. You got to get the flow of the. Yeah, we know all that. That's not the question. You don't have to throw the little. Hey, look over here. Look over here. Look over here, and then hit you in the face with the right hand, while the left hand's shaking on the. You know, he's giving you the bolo punch like Sugar Ray Leonard. You don't have to hit us with that. We get it. He's not calling the plays. You know. Well, a lot of things going to call into plays. Okay, well, we didn't ask you to break down the itinerary of play calling.
Yeah.
Just asking if you're going to do it, that's all.
Yeah, but right. And I don't believe he's giving it up. Now, maybe next year, you know, when Tim Kelly's been around, and he loves Tim Kelly, though. I mean, here, we got a soundbite of him talking about Tim Kelly and his undying love for Tim Kelly is the... It could be a savior for this.
Stop. Will you stop?
For this football football team. No, I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying is Tim Kelly loves him. He loves him some Tim Kelly.
That's a philosophy that that we've had, and we have a strong belief in that you have young coaches on your staff that you've trained. If you look at a guy like Tim Kelly, a very bright guy, very young coach in the business relative to years of experience, but he's really risen the ladder because of his work ethic and his intelligence, and he's coached on both sides of the ball. So he's with me at Penn State, came with me to Houston, has done a fantastic job in every role that I've asked him to take on, and he earned the opportunity. And so we have a system in place. He knows the system. He knows where the system needs to be improved. He knows how it can be tweaked. He knows the things we have to keep doing that we did well last year. So that's really something that we really believe in. We can promote from within.
Honestly, listening to the comments, it really just sounds like Bill O'Brien doesn't think. If you just listen to him, it just doesn't sound like his resume is built up enough to be at a play-calling level yet, is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
He's risen from within. He's earned this opportunity. Like, it just sounds like a guy who is getting his first chance. It doesn't sound like somebody he's going to trust with the operations of defeating a defense with Deshaun Watson. I could be wrong, but it sounds more like he's just saying, hey, you know, congratulations to this young guy. He's getting his first real shot. Well, first real shot isn't going to be play caller right off the bat, that's for sure.
No. And that's fine. I mean, we'll see. I mean, we had Warren Sharp on yesterday, and the Texans are last, dead last. Just 38% of the time do they throw on first down. And now, they were effective. They were just above average on yards per attempt. And they ran the ball pretty well on first down as well, but they ran it 62% of the time on first down, which is, their offense was stagnant at times and not one of the top offenses in the league. And now maybe with some better offensive linemen, maybe if they pick up another weapon for Deshaun, maybe if they get a big-time running back in Le'Veon Bell. We'll see what kind of moves they're going to make.
Maybe if Will Fuller stays healthy.
Maybe.
I'd be interested to see what the numbers look like when Will Fuller's healthy and not healthy for the offense.
Oh, it's different. And by the way, there's an article in the Chronicle this morning about Will Fuller being healthy, that they're convinced that he will be able to stay healthy, which I don't know how anyone can be convinced of that. But, however, you know, maybe that will change a little bit. Now, again, if you can trust the offensive line, I think now Deshaun with another year with an actual full year under his belt where he was able to stay healthy. But, you know, the 62 sacks is ridiculous. That's got to end. You can't put him in that kind of danger. And I think everyone knows what this offseason is. It's get some offensive line help and maybe another weapon for him, or just keep your weapons healthy and some cornerbacks. But you know, maybe he'll trust him a little more and not be so conservative on first down, which is a killer because you put him in second and long, you put him in, you know, maybe he can open it up a little bit more if he trusts Deshaun more and he trusts the offensive line more. And hopefully that happens this offseason.
Well, we've got a lot to get to today because we've got more from Bill O'Brien on Deontay Foreman, which didn't sound like the biggest vote of confidence I've ever heard. We've got his thoughts on Jadeveon Clowney and whether or not he's a hard worker. And then maybe most importantly, we've got a brand new season for the Rockets. We talked about different seasons that arise from inside of every season. And since the All-Star break, the Rockets feel like a totally different team with Clint Capela back now.
That's funny. My Sports Map article, I've divided the season into three parts. The crappy start of the season, the unguardable tour, and the gang is back together part of the season. So, and now with this gang back together, look at the last three games, 118, 119, 118 points. And, you know, I mean, obviously the Hawks were hitting silly shots, so they stayed in it. And, you know, the Hornets were in it, but the Rockets pulled away at the end. They just look, you know, with James had 30, which was great. You know, I don't care James having 30. James only put up 11 threes, though, and hit one of them after he missed all 10 the game before. And he's throwing up just 10 shots, 10 three-pointers, as opposed to 17 like he was before. And Chris Paul seems to be back and playing like Chris Paul again, which is awesome. So, I really think that this is a better basketball team now that all of that crap is over. We're not worried about James scoring 30 anymore. Can go about actually moving the ball around and having Chris Paul run some of the offense. I think that's totally sweet. Totally sweet.
I think it's totally sweet when you catch a pair of nines and you play it and you're like, well, I'm probably not. I might be top position pre-flop, but I'm not sure. And then a nine comes on the flop and you realize, I got this. It's the best feeling in the world.
I think it's totally sweet when you play in the Pot Limit Omaha and you cash every Wednesday. If you're looking for a great place for a tournament, a noon tournament, and you cash, it's fun. That's a lot of fun.
So we had
a lot
of, happened.
That's what happened yesterday.
Well, there you go.
And there you have it. And now Friday, how about 10,000 guaranteed this Friday? And oh, by the way, Saturday, if you're a domino player, this is where you want to be. 128 players. And there's still room, there's still time for you to get in this Saturday, and you play one-on-one against guys and advance, 128-guy tournament, and there's going to be good money at stake. If you think you can play dominoes, let's go. That's going to be Saturday. You'll hear all about it tomorrow at Prime Social. PrimeSocialTX.com. PrimeSocialTX.com. Get there. It's just west of Voss on Westheimer. So much fun. The best place to play poker in the city of Houston is Prime Social.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, I don't comment on what other people say. I've had a really good experience with JD. He's played good football for us. He's a good person. Enjoyed coaching him, and again, it's the business side of things. I'll leave that to Brian. Brian can talk to you about that tomorrow. But I have nothing but good things to say about JD.
Tepid.
He's a good football player, and that's what you would expect from your coach to say about it. He's a good football player. They'll probably franchise him. See what happens. This has been exhausted, this conversation, whether or not, what you do with him.
And franchise him then.
Yeah, franchise. Just do it. Well, I guess you keep on trying to negotiate instead of, you don't have to franchise him right away.
I don't think they want to negotiate.
So,
I don't think that's even an option. I think they're just going to franchise. I don't think they trust him. I really don't. Bill O'Brien wouldn't comment on what somebody else said about hard work thing, and he's fine, and blah, blah, blah. I think they want him to prove it again. I think they want him to prove it in the off season that he will bust it. And I think there was some disappointment that he wasn't where he should have been in camp relative to being healthy and ready to go. And I know they're – and I just – any NFL team, this is any NFL team, when you are getting set to give – when you're getting set to give J.J. Watt or DeAndre Hopkins or Deshaun Watson or Jadeveon Clowney, any of them, a bunch of money, Chris Paul – in basketball, the first question you ask is, with Chris Paul, this is really not even relevant anymore, but the first question you ask a young player is, what will they do when you draft them? You say, what will they do with more time and more money? The second question you ask on second contract is, how will they respond to this much money? Is this what they're playing for, or is this a byproduct of their love for the game? And I think that is a question you ask of every player. Is this the end result? Is this the end result they were hoping for, and that's it? Because this happens a lot of times with players. I'm not saying anything controversial. We know this, that once you hit that big dollar contract, like Kelvin Cato, we saw immediately went into operation shutdown. The question is, does Jadeveon Clowney, once he gets his contract, does it spark him to be better than ever because he wants to prove to everyone that he deserves his money?
I just think that Jadeveon Clowney is what he is. I mean, he, you know, Steve Spurrier said it when he was at South Carolina. He's not the hardest working dude. That's all. But you know what? You get in the games, and he's a maniac, and he makes plays, and he does what he does.
And he does do that.
He does do that. And whether or not that's a max dollar guy is another question. And he looks at himself as a max dollar guy as well. He should, because that's what he thinks, you know, and his agent should try to get as much money as he possibly can. Okay. That doesn't mean the Texans have to pay it. That doesn't mean the Texans have to, you know, there's no gun to their head. They can franchise him and then let him go. Whatever, you know, or try to trade him or whatever the case may be. But he's got his value. Every player thinks he's worth more than the team wants to give him. And that might be the case here. And oh well, that's life in the NFL and in Major League Baseball and in basketball too. So, you know, the Texans have to do what they're going to do, and it's probably going to be franchise. And let's move on.
I don't know anybody who should be upset about it.
No,
that's fine.
No. Now, and you know what, today, I don't think he's going to react like. You know what he's going to do? He's going to stay out of camp. The whole time, he'll probably come back right for the first week because he wants his paychecks, but he didn't have to work all camp because that's probably more what, you know what, Jadeveon Clowney might want to be franchised every year, so I don't ever have to go to camp. Who knows? He's not the hardest worker. And then he blamed, last year though, he blamed, well, they didn't use me in camp. I wasn't really ready for the season because they didn't really, what? Huh? They're, okay, now they didn't make a big deal out of it, but you know, Jadeveon, you ain't exactly busting ass to get here and work your ass off. Okay,
I'd say the desire to stay out of camp will look normal, but it also won't speak like what would speak better for Jadeveon if he came in and, you know, the whole phrase about contract year. Contract year is where you're supposed to do everything you can, and then you. I'm not going to say to fool the team, but you show them what you're capable of doing. You put your best foot forward, and I think the Texans want to put him in a contract year this year. That's going to be the case. They're going to put him in a contract year, and they're going to say, let's see it. Jadeveon is a good football player. He's not an elite player. He's not an elite pass rusher. He is a run game wrecker. He is an athletic rusher. He's an explosive rusher with a great inside move, and he's valuable. I would not want him to leave this team this year. I just think you have to balance that against what happens when he has a big contract that you can't get away from. And does he stay healthy and all that? That's it. I mean, because I think you already have that concern with J.J. Watt. I know J.J. stayed healthy, but I still am going to be very concerned about J.J.'s health for the rest of his career, however long it lasts, because, you know, and it will never change for Will Fuller either. Now, Kiki QT, you got to worry about him. So you got to have a team of durable players, and right now that doesn't look like the case. That's a little bit of a concern. Although Clowney's injury histories in the previously – while that should concern you, it has not been an issue over the last two or three years.
Yeah, no. 3 years.
He's played through it. He's played hurt, too. I mean, and he deserves credit for playing with pain.
What's he missed? A total of 3 games in these last 3 seasons?
3 years, something like that. Yeah, that's not bad at all.
That's not bad at all. No, I'll take that. If he misses a game, an average, a game a year, okay. No, absolutely.
The talk down here has been about Deontay Foreman and whether or not he would make this team. And I know Bill O'Brien talked about it. The thought was that he just didn't put the time and effort in. That he did. He did initially. Let me take that back. He was full bore. They said he looked phenomenal headed into camp. Looked phenomenal. And then when he had a setback, it just like he just let off the gas, gained weight, and just wasn't the same. Like he had a hard time. He had a hard time with being ready to. To go. He just kind of mentally let up, and that's one of the reasons why he wasn't able to, you know, we didn't see him until the end of the year. He just didn't put the time in that he needed to, and the effort in is what, you know, has been whispered behind the scenes. But the thought was, well, you might be able to just get away from Deontay Foreman altogether. There's really no, I don't think there's an advantage to it. You don't need cap room. You're 70 plus million under the cap. You're going to, you know, Kevin Johnson's going to be gone. You're probably going to cut some other guys cap-wise. I don't know that there's an advantage of, other than if you don't want them in the locker room or don't want to deal with them, but you're not going to cut them anytime soon. You're going to go through free agency. You're going to go through the draft. And then if anyone gets cut, whether it's Lamar Miller or Deontay Foreman, or God, I don't even know what the deal with Alfred Blue is. It's like he's in his 15th season with the team or something. I've never seen somebody who can hang on as long as Alfred Blue. But I don't think anything will happen until much later for any of those guys. If they, I do think there will be a running back added. I don't think they'll go with what they had last year. Who the odd man out is, I mean, the more expensive player is Lamar Miller, but he's also the more reliable player. So I think Foreman, they want to see what he's capable of doing. And if it doesn't, if the roster looks like they've got a full, you know, slate of running backs, then he'll either get cut in camp or he might be a June 1st cut.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. That's another place that they've got to, you know, I'm worried about the Le'Veon Bell weight thing. If that is, I don't know if that's true. Have you gotten any confirmation there about Le'Veon Bell and that 260-pound thing?
No, I haven't gotten any. I can tell you this. In college, he played
he was heavy.
248.
Yeah.
And he was not – I didn't think he looked special at all. And when he trimmed down, he was a different dude.
Was it – Dale, we saw that. Wasn't there a picture of him out? Did you see that picture of Le'Veon Bell? That he did look – He did. I don't know if that was true or what. You can always Photoshop. You can always do crap to pictures. I don't know. But there was a picture of him out, and I don't even – who knows what the time stamp, whatever. But he looked big. If that was true, he looked big. And if that is the case, then, you know, you can't have a guy that can balloon on you, especially a guy that – you know, I mean, he's got a lot of tread off the tires. He hasn't played now in a while.
Very scary if you now have to lose 25 pounds, ugh, which can lead to injury too. That's very scary for the amount of money he's going to want.
You don't want to do that. 727 ESPN 97.5. Anything you want to get in? We'll talk Rockets on the other side right here. It went again last night. 713-780-3776. In the meantime, let's get some testosterone.
Let's talk about Men's T Clinic. You've got a chance to get back to being the person you once were when you're in your 20s and your 30s. Do you remember when you used to go to the gym and go play pickup basketball, or you'd get your workouts in 3 days a week, and you saw the results? You didn't have to work all the time. You could eat food at different times during the evening. You could eat different types of food, and you wouldn't see any difference with your body type. And then you said, well, you just get older and it changes. Yeah, sometimes, but here's the other thing. Did you know that sometimes lower testosterone levels are big culprits in terms of slowing down your metabolism? Did you know that when your testosterone level is right, your metabolism is going to be better? You're going to be mentally sharper. Your libido levels will improve. Your overall drive and energy level will improve. These are facts. This is going to happen. If you have been to another testosterone place and you didn't see results, chances are they really didn't get you diagnosed properly and they didn't get you on the right levels of medicine. When you are with one of the providers from Men's T Clinic, they have all your lab results, and they will start you on a process that they believe will be successful, and then they tweak it up or down from there to make sure you get the optimal benefits. I had mine tweaked after a year and a half of success. I didn't see the same results. They took the lab work. They came back, said, let's tweak it to this level, and that's what we did. And that's why they're so good at getting results. Men's T Clinic, Pasadena, Pearland, Cypress, and the Heights. If you are interested in seeing about getting back to being the real you, go to mensteaclinic.com.
We know how important these last 20-some games are. For seeding, this is for opportunities to put yourself in a position to be ready for the postseason. So we played like it.
Yeah, it's it was a close game. I mean, teams are going to give. Charlotte is not as good, and they're not a very good basketball team. But they are, you know, it was on their home court, and they played hard, and the Rockets were able to overcome. It seems like everybody seems to be on the same page that the guys are. Since Clint Capella came back, they are 3-1. They had that misfire in L.A. after the All-Star break against the Lakers. But since then, they've been playing some really good offensive basketball, despite the fact that James has won for his last 21 on three-pointers. You would think that they would struggle with James not being able to hit any threes, but they're not. They're putting up 118, 119, 118. Chris Paul seems fully involved. Another 10 assist game last night. He's shooting the ball well. He's shooting the ball since he came back, since the All-Star break. He's shooting 28 of 56, 500 from the field. Pretty good. That's pretty good. He's back to looking like Chris Paul. And now this looks like, I don't know about to you, but to me, you know, and James is going to dominate. James has got to take most of the shots, and James is still going to put up, and he put up his 30. But when you got to average 36 a game, you don't win. Okay, so now they're getting back to where James is only taking 10 or 11 threes as opposed to 17 that he did for a month in January, where, you know, and they won. There was a time for a long stretch here, 20-game stretch out of the 32, that they were just a 500 basketball team.
I'm just not hyper-focused. I mean, this is – I don't care what happened in the past now, because this is – they're back to being the real Rockets. And whatever they had to do to survive, they survived, and that's fine, and that's great. But we've seen since Capella's come back, it's been a different team. It's a different team against the Lakers for big stretches of that game. It's been a big – they're back to being the regular Rockets to me, and I'm not even hyper focused on how many points James scores. All I care about is how Chris Paul looks. I know what Clint Capella does. He's a catch and dunk player. He's a rim protector. He's going to rebound. He's going to run the high screen and roll for you. Clint Capella makes a difference. The big difference, and I know James is going to play at an MVP caliber. I already know that. He's done that for 4 years in a row. He'll do it now. The whole key is Chris Paul. He's the entire key to everything. And when he's playing well, I don't care how many shots James takes. The Rockets have chances to beat anybody in the league when Chris Paul is playing well, because James will share the ball and James will give Chris Paul his opportunities as well when Chris Paul is playing, especially playing well. And that's what's happened. And Chris Paul has come back and he's starting around into shape. And you throw that rim protector and the athletic big, because for everything that Kenneth Faried has done, which has been great, and he helped keep you afloat too, I mean, this is a different guy. Clint Capella is an above-the-rim athlete, and it's nice getting that back on the court for the Rockets because those are easy baskets too. His dunks at the rim, those are easy baskets. And basketball is still played with threes are great, but, you know, easy baskets are still a big deal in this high-flying NBA that you have now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. No, it does. It looks like a much better basketball team. Now, what do you do with Chris Paul tonight? A back-to-back going from Charlotte to Miami.
You don't play him.
He says he wants to play.
Okay. Well, too bad. So sad. You're not playing in this game. Miami's in a back-to-back, too, so oh well. So, no. You don't get a play. Sorry.
Did you see the miracle shot, though?
Yeah. Dwayne Wade, one-footed. Shot after having a shot blocked twice on the same shot. Really, the last 20-plus games, the Heat are a half a game behind Charlotte with the loss for Charlotte last night for the eighth seed. They're not a good basketball team, but this is all for the glorification of Dwayne Wade. And if he's going to make a shot against the Warriors, good for him.
Yeah, I mean, that was good for everybody, for them, and especially that was just – and LeBron afterwards said, I thought my shot was better. LeBron, he did.
That's pretty funny.
That is.
He's taking a shot at his friend. And now Dirk, what is Dirk doing? Now Dirk is thinking about, well, I don't know, maybe I'll come back and keep playing. No, Dirk, we're doing all this. People are stopping games to give you, no, you're not doing
it. Oh, my God, if he does, Doc Rivers stopped the game. He called timeout with about 9 seconds left the other night. And he made everybody, and he got on the microphone and said, everybody get up and let's give Dirk a standing ovation. And Dirk is, you know, smiling and waving. And then, well, I might come back. What? What, Dirk?
You know, so when you look at Porzingis and Doncic, and then you look at Nowitzki, if he were in there, that would be like the NBA's pride and joy of an international team. You know, the vision of David Stern to bring the game to the world, to become a global league. I mean, it's a passing of the torch. There's a lot of different ways you could look at it, but you've got one of the first really big Hall of Fame superstars to come into the league. And not, when I say that, I don't, you know, you can say Dream, but Dream played at U of H. He played in 3 Final Fours. I'm talking about Nowitzki, who came right out of Germany and into the league. And was a skinny kid who looked like he couldn't play at first, and all of a sudden he was really good. I mean, Dirk is kind of one of the first international babies that really became a monster, and here are two on the heels. I think Luka is going to be, I think when it's all said and done, he's going to be an all-time great. Like, he is phenomenal. I'm sure you guys heard what Dwayne Wade, saw what Dwayne Wade said about him. Dwayne was blown away by Luka, but I'm not sure on Porzingis. I don't think he's built for it, but it is an interesting team. If Dirk were back and Porzingis is there and Luka, and you look at these big, tall international guys with different skill levels than you're used to seeing, in essence, they're much more like, you know, I still think Luka's got traits of Tracy McGrady, and Porzingis has traits of Kevin Garnett, and that just goes to show you the hybrid nature of basketball. They were way ahead of football when it comes to being hybrid, and that's really played internationally.
They look like Utah to me, way too white.
Nah, but they're international. It's different. It's not Matt Harper in Utah. What are you talking about? Donovan Mitchell? Utah's different now.
And Utah fans
told me that they weren't. Yeah, Utah fans told me that racism thing was overblown. They told me on Twitter that's like, all those things have been dispelled over the years. None of that was true about what we said to those people. And I said, what does that mean? They said, you know what it means.
Oh, yeah. We know what it means. We know that they are stop. It's the 80 Celtics wasn't okay. Whatever.
So wait a minute. I thought Utah fans that I talked to people who worked for the Rockets who told me exactly some of the words and phrases that were said. No, they were lying, trying to make us look bad. Okay.
No, they said that stuff. I heard it on the floor.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did. I was there. Actually, I saw it on the floor. It was like, oh my God, you people! Holy crap!
No, you didn't hear anything.
This is not, wow, this is not Mississippi. Stop, okay? It's Utah. Stop. You people are supposed to be nice people. You're not.
They are nice people outside the stadium.
Yeah. No, I would imagine. I guess
Matt Thomas told me they are the most lovely people you will ever see. Now, he did tell me, if you are not one of them, meaning if you're not Latter-day Saint LDS, you are welcome to do stuff with them at work and be work friends, but that's it. Once you leave work, there's not going to be, hey, why don't you guys come over for dinner? Hey, let's go to the Pizza Inn and maybe share a pizza and a big and a great big pitcher of Pepsi. There's none of that. There's no fraternizing with
them. They don't drink. They're drinking Pepsi. Dr. Pepper. Let's be clear.
No, they're drinking water.
I think they're drinking
and lemonade.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, he's right.
They're not drinking caffeine.
Dr. Pepper.
They're not drinking any caffeine. That's against religion.
They've modernized themselves. They will still They will still yell racist things at a guy just because he's carrying a basketball in his hand. But outside of that, as long as he doesn't have a basketball, they're fine with you. But if you carry a basketball, I get to yell racist stuff at you. But they will drink. Modernize themselves in drinking Dr. Pepper.
No.
Because no white people can avoid drinking Dr. Pepper.
They still.
See, this whole segment is so Del could slander Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
I didn't slander Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
No.
It appeals to a great swath of this country. I'm not slandering them at all.
Maybe they do have caffeine. Are they allowed to have caffeine?
No.
You can't at BYU. Can't, no.
They still churn their own butter and build their barns.
That's the Amish.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
That's John.
Same thing.
Don't churn butter.
Same thing. They won't drink caffeine. They drink lemonade. Okay, those people.
I think that's correct. I don't think they are.
So they don't sell caffeine.
Take another shot at Dr. Pepper. Just take another one.
How am I taking a shot?
Why are you hating Dr. Pepper?
A shot when I just told you that it appeals to a large portion of this country? That's not taking a shot at Dr.
Pepsi,
Pepper.
Yeah, you said it's white people drink.
Yeah.
You made it a racial issue.
It kind of is. My wife has a Dr. Pepper today.
Thank you.
And her lunch.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. I just was downstairs. Three scouts. All black scouts went in and got Dr. Pepper.
That's a lie.
No, yes.
That's not a lie.
No.
It's not a lie.
You didn't see that.
It's multiracial. Dr. Pepper's multiracial.
Dr. Racial, yes.
It may be multiracial, but he didn't see that. He made
that
up.
My wife sent that text. They can't have caffeine. You tried to jackhammer your anti-Dr. Pepper radicalism.
So you're telling me in that arena where they yell racist things, no caffeine's being sold?
No caffeine.
Bull crap.
I don't believe that. You can't do that. Not every member of the Jazz fan fan base. It's probably low sales.
No, it's not, I think, but it's the zero.
And by the
they're
way,
not even putting it in there.
I didn't take a. I didn't even say Mormons. I said jazz fans would drink Dr. Pepper.
Same thing.
Oh, Dell, we know your code. Amish. We know your signaling.
They're not the Amish.
You know your racial. We know your dog whistles.
Don't put dog whistles on me. I'm pretty clear what I said.
You
I said
your white jazz fan.
I
dog
said
whistles.
People. White people drink Dr. Pepper. That's not a dog whistle. I came. I barked that at you.
Okay, if you're a person of color and you drink Dr. Pepper, give Dell a call.
Yeah,
okay.
713-780-3776.
Dell drinks, Earl Grey tea.
No, I drink
okay,
iced
because
tea.
He's British.
No, I'm from the South, so I drink iced tea.
Okay.
Sweet tea. Thank you.
Yeah.
Ooh, gross.
And lemonade. Both those things.
And lemonade. You might be Amish.
The Amish don't drink sweet tea.
Lemonade.
Dell, you're lemonade. Not from the South. You're from California.
I was born in Daytona, so I'm from
which
the
one
south.
Are you claiming? Yeah, oh, so now you're claiming
deep
Florida
south.
Again?
Are you kidding?
Yeah, I was born.
Which one are you claiming?
I was born at the heart of auto racing. Okay, thank you.
That's pretty south, Lance. Daytona.
Yeah, Daytona south.
Never been there?
Remember when he claims Long Beach all the time?
Yeah,
that's where I grew up. But I was born in Daytona.
Why don't you get people insured?
Well, here's what you do. All you have to do is text money to 232323. It's a very easy process, and this company. They aggregate all the different homeowners insurance quotes, and you know whether you know it or not, the access that these homeowner insurance companies have to your property is instantaneous. As soon as they have your address, they know everything about your home because it's already in a system for all the insurance companies, and so that's why they can get you quotes so fast. I know you're wondering, Lance, how can they get me a firm quote in under a minute? Here's how they do it. You text money to 232323. Immediately, you get a text back that says, what's your address? You send it, and their algorithms go take your address, put it in there. It's already got your square footage and the value, the HCAD value of your home. And they come back with the very best quote that they can find. And then what they do is they'll give you a variety of quotes that will be close to the lowest quote as well. So you can choose which company that you might want. And from there, you can say, well, we want to add flood insurance, or I want to add another $50,000, or I want to make sure and get my jewelry insured beyond this amount. And Raheel did that. He added flood insurance. I added additional coverage. And both of us were finished within an hour. Within an hour of our text messages, we were done and saved a bunch of money. You could be the next person on that list. Text money to 232323 and let TGS see what they can do for you on homeowners insurance. And don't forget to ask about car insurance as well.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. What the hell? Why are all these people?
You asked for it.
I did.
Yeah.
Derek and Jerome want to talk about Dr. Pepper.
Oh, by the way, we got a tweet from an LDS listener. Michael says, I'm LDS. We don't drink coffee or tea, but we're good with Dr. Pepper and other caffeinated sodas. Thank you.
Thank you. How is that? I believe that.
How are you allowed to drink? Oh. Well, you can drink. They have non-caffeinated versions.
Well, he said we're good with Dr. Pepper and other caffeinated sodas.
How are you allowed to not drink caffeine but then drink caffeine?
They've modernized. I don't know why you didn't believe me.
No, I'm not sure that they. I'm not sure that that's a. That's like being a cafeteria Catholic.
We're good.
Reagan says no caffeine drink sold at BYU games. That's right. A fact. That's
and
a
you
fact.
get in trouble for drinking for caffeinated drinks.
And you get in trouble. And you get in trouble for dancing.
Well, talk to Michael. He said we're. He was speaking for more than one.
Okay.
I don't think he is.
I don't know what we're means, but it's or we are, but it
that's
sounds
like
more than one.
That's like
you don't think that he snuck a Diet Coke or a Coke in his life.
Oh, and by the way,
yeah,
BYU. I know, I get it. It's the institution, but you mean to tell me the kids at BYU aren't drinking caffeinated sodas?
Nope.
Get out of here.
Nope. That and nobody's mean having sex either.
Well, hold on a second.
Or
that doesn't mean that it's not
until
against
Kevin Bacon gets there.
It's not against
you
the tenets of religion.
You said. And we have.
Well, yeah, I mean, Catholics and other Christians are not supposed to do things, and they end up doing it too. Yeah. But that doesn't mean you just. It doesn't mean it's wide open.
Well, Michael appears it's wide open. He told us, and he says, "Oh, well,
since Michael, well, your good friend Michael from Twitter."
Yeah, no, Twitter never lies.
Oh, I'm sorry. He said we. I'm gonna take a member.
He's your source.
I'm gonna take a member of the LDS Church.
You got two sources.
Are you calling him a liar?
You got two sources.
Are you calling a member?
You got two.
Are you calling
Michael
a liar?
Get two sources. New media. Get two sources. New media.
Yeah, we're not gonna go with one Michael.
Millennial media.
All you do.
Oh, Michael, that's his real name too.
All you do is work in the realm of unnamed sources. I'm taking a name source. Thank you.
Who said this?
Michael was the fallen angel. Do you think I'm gonna believe him?
I thought Lucifer was the fallen angel.
He was Michael.
Del, stay out of this.
Del,
out of
I thought Michael was the angel's death.
Michael was the fallen angel. You don't know nothing. You see, Lucifer. And now you're listening to this, Michael.
I thought Lucifer was the fallen angel.
Oh, my God.
Angel.
Okay, who drinks?
John Schoolum.
Yeah, this is terrible. Let's get Jerome in here, find out if he drinks Dr.
No
Pepper.
Caffeine and no nicotine for LDS, says Taylor. Yeah,
tell that to Michael.
Reagan, too, said that. So, Del, wrong. You and Michael
too.
You're one source. Jerome, you drink Dr. Pepper?
Yes, good morning, guys. Hey, great show, by the way. Yes, I do drink Dr. Pepper, and I'm just appalled that Delvin Diesel would say that.
Yeah.
Dr. Pepper is only a Caucasian drink.
You sound like Art, by the way, Jerome.
Yeah, also, by the way, I am also LDS, and I do drink Dr. Pepper.
Oh, see?
Wait, no. You're not Jerome. Hold on a
see?
Second.
See? I told you that's not Jerome.
Jerome.
That's Art.
Art. Jerome. Jerome Art. Listen, you can't. Are you. You're LDS and you're African American?
Well, that's possible.
I'm not sure that either of those things are true.
First. There's always one.
I'm not sure that either of those things are true.
No, there's always one, just like there's always one guy who goes supercuts. There's always one.
Let's see if Derek. Let's bring Derek in here. Hey, Derek.
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing, man?
Good sport.
You what?
That's the wrong show, but go ahead.
What'd he say?
Sports.
Oh. What up, Derek?
Nothing much, man. I really don't see what the problem is with Dr. Pepper. We drink it here in Houston all day long, man.
Yeah, Del.
Yeah.
I didn't question whether people drink Dr. Pepper. I just told you the demographics of who drinks Dr. Pepper. That's all.
Well, I'm an African American, and I love Dr. Pepper. I drink Dr. Pepper all the time.
You would be the one.
There's another one.
Who? Okay. Jerome?
Jerome?
That was it.
What? All you need is one. All you need is one.
That's right.
Del.
You just said you need one source. That's
I said
it.
There. I didn't say only white people. I said they drink it a lot though.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. You ready? Here it is. This is from. This is demographics. This is from Numerator. It's the demographics of Dr. Pepper. Brand spend per basket is 2.09, blah, blah, blah. Median total basket spend, yada, yada, yada. Here's the demographic. The heaviest demographic is under 24, so kid drink, and 48 to 54. You also have...
What's your racial breakdown?
Okay. It's a little higher on Caucasian.
I don't know why you don't trust me on these things.
It's higher on Caucasian than Hispanic than African American. Just a little higher.
What's the percentage, Lance?
Well, I can't really tell. It just has these little bars. It doesn't really tell me.
So what? How
it says index? So index Caucasian 112, index African American 58, Asian 41. Asians are the lowest. Asians are just not feeling Dr. Pepper as much. It doesn't appear.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't know.
Hispanic, it's under, let's see, for, hold on. I just got to find something to prove don't wrong.
No, you can't. I told you.
Michael is the archangel, not the fallen angel.
I told you, once again.
You cafeteria Christian.
Exactly.
Listen to this.
Exactly. I told you he wasn't the fallen angel. That's Lucifer.
You're going to love this. John, why are you embarrassing us against Dell? You're terrible. Just keep your mouth out of this cafeteria, Catholic. Okay, it says no college is heavily. So Dr. Pepper drinkers also are big into no college. So we're not really a learned people. So yeah, find out a lot about us on this website. I don't like this site at all. Yeah. Okay, Dell, what do you drink?
Yeah, he's the archangel.
Oh, see, you can't trust John on anything.
Nope. This is from Eric Cartman. I dated a former Mormon for like a year. It's much closer to JG's version than you'd think. Can we get his thoughts on Jesus jammies? No.
Special underwear?
Yeah, apparently there are special underwear. JD says they do, however, they don't sell caffeine, but they do sell magic underwear at BYU games.
Holy crap. Black people like Pepsi a lot more.
I don't see, man.
Oh, I'm a big Pepsi trash. Fan. I'm a big Pepsi.
Pepsi's
fan.
So trash. Yeah. And that's all you get in the Midwest. It's a Pepsi area. Like Indianapolis, I can't. Dr. Pepper's like you have to sneak it around.
There are a lot of places here that just serve Pepsi, not Coke. Pepsi, no Coke. There's a lot of places.
Well, you're from the Midwest. You're from Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we drink Pepsi. We drink Pepsi here.
Caucasians still lead the league in Pepsis, but not by a lot. It's pretty much even.
757 ESPN 97.5. We'll get off this and go. And we've already decided about the Mormon faith. Okay.
Yeah, we got everything figured out.
And that's why all the white players go. That's why they always draft white players. In the meantime, I want to talk about GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com. You know who that is. That's John Clay Wolf. He's white. I'm not gonna deny this. He is. But he is also unbelievable at what he does, buying thousands of cars a month because he gives you the best price. When you get the best offer, you take the best offer. And that's why he's able to buy all of those cars. And then he resells them at auctions. And, you know, and what a thriving business he's got. I don't know how many. He's got an unbelievable number of employees. He buys thousands of cars every month. He does his radio show on Saturday mornings right here on ESPN 97.5. And he'll quote you over the phone. When you go to GiveMeTheVin.com, it'll literally take you about a minute to find out how much your car is worth. You put in the VIN number and they know that the age and now you got to tell them, you know, what kind of shape it's in, and then that'll determine how much you can possibly get for your car. But all of those things happen in about a minute, all at GiveMeTheVIN.com. Find out the best price, guaranteed, because if they can't beat CarMax or Texas Direct Auto, they give you $100 at GiveMeTheVIN.com.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city.